Hare Krishna, welcome for the Bhagavad Gita class. Today is Tuesday, 10th July 2012. So let us first chant together the invocation mantras. Get the blessing of the Lord and the Gurus, and then we'll start from there. So chant with me. You can just read either English or Sanskrit. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी पर प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतिता नाम पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमाम विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिन इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमः विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते जय पताका स्वामी इति नामिने सो टुडे वी आर गोइंग टू We are discussing the second section of the chapter 2. If you remember, I had said that in the last class, I had said that there are five sections in the chapter 2. The first section is called Sanshaya or Doubt, Arjuna's Doubts, which overflowed from the first chapter. The second section is called, which we are going to discuss today, is called Jnana. Jnana, knowledge. What knowledge? Transcendental knowledge. About what? About the soul. What is soul? What is body? What the difference? The qualities of soul, etc. So, this is the second section. Incidentally, the second chapter is called as the summary of the whole Bhagavad Gita. Then the third section comes, which is called Sakama Karma or Karma Kanda. Sakama, doing something with desire to get the result, material results, of course. So Sakama Karma, or it is also called Karma Kanda. That's the do's and don'ts of the material life. Because even in the material life, there are some rules. It's not that whimsically we live the way we want to live. And that the third section is called, that the fourth section is called Nishkama Karma. Nishkama. The one which is done without desire for any results. Nishkama. Kama means desires and Nishkama means no desires. no material desires. It is also called as Buddhi Yoga. Yoga, as I told you, is to join with the Lord, and Buddhi means intelligence. So you are using your intelligence to link with the Supreme. And that's what is, why it is called Nishkama Karma or Buddhi Yoga. And the last one is Stitta Prajna. Stitta Prajna means a person with a steady disposition. Steady. He doesn't get disturbed in any situation. So Arjuna wants to know, what kind of a person is this? What are the symptoms? How does he talk? How does he walk? Everything he asks. How does he sit? So that's the final section of second chapter. So today, as I said, we are going to concentrate on second section, which is science of the soul. Okay. So what we'll do is, I have done this earlier. Those who have been attending, I had shown you the slides, and we had discussed about the soul and also super soul. So before that, I will like to read all the translation. This is incidentally in the second chapter, text number 11 to text number 30. Okay. So what we'll do is, we'll all read together. You can read on your screen, and I'm reading here. And that way, we know what we are discussing. Okay. So I'll just open that, and then we'll start from there. So I hope you can all see this, and become easier for everybody to follow. Shift this up in a corner somewhere. Yes. So let's read together. I'll try to go very slow. This is from 11 to 30. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, while speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor for the dead. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. Oh, okay, sorry, yes. As the embodied soul continuously passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. A sober person is not bewildered by such a change. O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, O Sian of Bharata, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. O best among men, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. Those who are seers of the truth have concluded that of the non-existent, that is the material body, there is no endurance, and of the eternal, that is the soul, there is no change. This they have concluded by studying the nature of both. That which pervades the entire body, you should know to be indestructible. No one is able to destroy that imperishable soul. The material body of the indestructible, immeasurable and eternal living entity is sure to come to an end. Therefore, fight, O descendant of Bharata. Neither he who thinks the living entity the slayer, nor he who thinks it slain, is in knowledge. For the self slays not, nor is slain. For the soul there is neither birth nor death at any time. He has not come into being, does not come into being, and will not come into being. He is unborn, eternal, ever-existing, and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. O Partha, how can a person who knows that the soul is indestructible, eternal, unborn, and immutable, kill anyone or cause anyone to kill? As a person puts on new garments, giving up old ones, the soul similarly accepts new material bodies, giving up the old and useless ones. The soul can never be cut to pieces by any weapon, nor burned by fire, nor moistened by water, nor withered by the wind. This individual soul is unbreakable and insoluble, and can be neither burned nor dried. He is everlasting, present everywhere, unchangeable, immovable, and eternally the same. It is said that soul is invisible, inconceivable, and immutable. Knowing this, you should not grieve for the body. If, however, you think that the soul or the symptoms of life, is always born and dies forever, you still have no reason to lament, O mighty arm. One who has taken his birth is sure to die, and after death, one is sure to take birth again. Therefore, in the unavoidable discharge of your duty, you should not lament. All created beings are unmanifest in their beginning, manifest in their interim state, and unmanifest again when annihilated. So what need is there for lamentation? Some look on the soul as amazing, some describe him as amazing, and some hear of him as amazing, while others, even after hearing about him, cannot understand him at all. O descendant of Bharata, he who dwells in the body can never be slain. Therefore, you need not grieve for any living being. So this is how Krishna explains to Arjuna the science of the soul. Okay. So now we can see some of the things that Krishna speaks here, which are very, very important for us to understand. Okay. Now you can see from here, we'll go into each of the qualities. You know, the soul's qualities. So I will just go to the other slideshow where we are going to see the soul, science of soul. With this, we discussed earlier. Again, I'm going to share with you, and with the help of the shloka that we just now read. The science of soul. It's a science. And there's some graphic presentation here trying to show the soul. It cannot be shown. It's not material, right? That's one thing. The soul is not material. So we cannot see it the way we see other things. When we see the material things, the soul is different totally. So, let us see some of the definitions that I collected from different sources. These are all definitions of the soul. The soul is the spark of life force that activates every body and enables it to function, right? We can see that when the soul is there, then we can, I mean, when actually it's the language itself is wrong. When we are there, we can activate the body, because we are the spirit souls. That's the lesson of Bhagavad Gita. So when we are there, we can activate. So soul is there, is a spark of life force, is the immaterial essence, immaterial, that means spiritual, it's not material, animating principle or actuating cause of an individual life, actuating, you know, it activates whatever is there in the body, and that's how the life continues. It is the spiritual principle embodied in human beings, all rational and spiritual beings, or the universe. So you see the expansion of that? Talking of the human beings, all rational and spiritual beings, that means even the spiritual body has a soul, or the whole universe has a soul. You know, the whole universe is also active, so it has a soul too. Of course, simply speaking, a person's total self, because we know that without the soul, there will be nothing left. The body will be left, but body will also perish if the soul is not there. Or it's called an active or essential part. Active. That is the symptom of the soul, to be conscious, or essential part. Essential. Without that, we cannot exist. The body cannot exist. Okay. Then, of course, comes the proof. How do you prove? So the most logical proof is common sense. See, when somebody is dead, we say he's gone. Who's gone? Who's gone? When you go there to the funeral, you see that the body is there. Everything is there, hand, nose, ears. But then we say somebody is, that person is no more there. He's no more. He's gone. Right? So that shows that it's a different than the is different than the body. We don't say me body, we say my body, my hand, my this, my that, right? So my means we are different, right? That's why it says I is different from body, mind and intelligence. I. It says my body, my mind, my intelligence. I don't say I intelligence, I body, I mind. So this is intuitive understanding. That means I, the spirit soul, is different. Then of course, as I said, consciousness spreads all over the body. It's situated in the region of heart, but it spreads all over the body. The whole body is conscious. If it is not, then we call it unconscious, subconscious, like that. Then of course, we have these near-death experiences and past life memories. Just to emphasize, just to, you know, help us understand a little more. And then of course, I think somebody joined now and they had to mute themselves. Let me do that. So now, we see with the help of the shlokas, the soul is, let's go one by one, indestructible, okay, indestructible. Krishna says it cannot be destroyed by any means, any weapons, any which way, you can just cannot destroy it, okay. Then he says it's individual. This is very, very important for us to understand, because this is where many philosophies differ. You know, but you see, we take the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, which is the philosophy, the best philosophy, the essence of all Vedas. And what does it say? If you remember, Krishna says that there is never a time when you, he is telling Arjuna, when you or the king, or he, Krishna talks about himself, he says, I, you or the king, that means all the people present there, There was never a time that they did not exist. They are always there. They are there and they will be there. He says, they will never cease to be. That means the individual soul remains individual soul for always, you know. You say for the rest of life? No, there is nothing like that. It's eternal. In other words, we cannot destroy that individuality. We cannot say that, okay, this soul has merged into the other soul or something like that. No. It's always individual. Krishna didn't tell Arjuna that, okay, you keep fighting and then you will merge into me, or these kings will merge into me. No. He says, there is never a time that they were not there, and there will never be a time when they will not be there. So absolutely, you know, this is what it is. That is what you have to understand. So we cannot merge into, even when we merge into Brahman, Brahma Jyoti, then still our individuality remains. It doesn't get destroyed. Okay? So that's very, very important. The soul has form. You know, it says that the soul is 1/10,000th part of a tip of a hair, right? The last one here. And that means it has a form. When you are describing a dimension of a thing, then it's a form. The difference is it's a spiritual form. Same way the matter is formless, spirit gives it form. You know, like the lump. We are all lump. You know, we are all, what are we? Fire, ether, earth, air and water, right? Which has no form. But then because of the soul, when they are all combined and the soul comes, then it becomes a form. It's eternal. Eternal. That we saw. Krishna says there is never a beginning nor an end. It was not born, it's not going to die. So what is born and what is that? It's the body. The body accepts a soul. The soul accepts a body. And then the soul gives up the body. And the body is useless. Like he says, useless like what? Old clothes. Such wonderful explanations in Bhagavad Gita. Simple but powerful. You know? As the soul, as we change our dresses, so we change our bodies. This theory of transmigration is again a wonderful gift of Bhagavad Gita and the Vedas. We change, you know. I don't know if you have seen this one, there was a picture. Let me see if I can get it for you. I mean, you would have seen the picture of a baby growing up and, you know, becoming a man and ultimately dying. But this one is a little different. I just got it in my, from somewhere from the internet. And I'll show it to you so you can see what it is all about. So nicely taken, you know, nicely explained, very simply. Okay, this is my Facebook page. Let's see. It's not. Okay, it's coming. Maybe I'll go to my page. As I keep posting so many things, it's sometimes difficult to keep a track. Yeah. Here it is. This is a shloka from same, what we know, 2.13. The person with when he was a baby, is holding all the pictures. And you can see he has a different body. But he remains same. So who are we? We are the spirit soul. That's the fundamental lesson. There's no difference between us and our spiritual body. When we get a spiritual body, then there's no difference. Right now, there is a difference. We are totally different. and our body is totally different. Okay, so it says that the spirit soul continuously passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, and that's how it explains. Okay, so go back here. Changes bodies, we saw that. Inconceivable. Why inconceivable? Inconceivable, unthinkable. That's why Krishna says it's amazing for some people. You know, some people think that what is this? How can this be? 1/10,000 part of a tip of a hair, but runs the whole body. Whether it's an ant's body or an elephant's body or any devata's body. Same spirit soul. That we can see, example, you know, small spark of electricity can create, generate so many things, right? So it's not the size which matters. But soul is inconceivable. So what is the solution? Krishna, in this whole thing, if you saw a clue, he just gives a clue of a person who is sober. First of all, he says, the sober person never laments. Arjuna was lamenting, right? So Krishna tells him, there is no use of lamenting. A sober man never laments just because somebody has died. Because nobody has died. Krishna says, nobody has died. Even if somebody has died, why to lament? Because he is going to get a new body. And that's why some places you see, when some person is dead, they celebrate. They have a big procession. And you know, decorate and all that and go. Of course, they don't do it because of that knowledge that, oh, that person is going to get a new body. But that's what it should be. Like, you know, when you shed an old shirt, throw it away and get a new shirt, aren't we happy? So what's the use of wearing a torn shirt? So same way, but again, the mystery here is that all this is in not our hand, you know. We cannot decide when we want to change the shirt. It's the super soul. Super soul is the one which decides, not we. Because again, you know, when we say the soul is different than the body, then this slide here which says that explains what is gross body and what is subtle body. Gross body consists of fire, earth, water, air and ether, as I said. And the subtle body, sukshma sharira, is mind, intelligence and false ego. Mana, buddhi, ahankara. Okay. So this put together becomes a material body. So somebody may ask, how can the mind be material? Yes, mind is also a material body. It's subtle. Subtle means you can't see it. Okay. So, okay. What is that Krishna talks about? See, this is the same thing, little differently presented to give a little more illustration. Indestructible. You simply cannot destroy it, right? Whatever you do, whatever exercise we do, we cannot destroy. That's why Krishna says, you cannot burn it, you cannot moisten it, you cannot dry it, you cannot do anything, you cannot cut it, nothing can happen. Then I told you, we cannot lose our identity. See, we can never lose. Sometimes they say that, yeah, we lose our identity, and then give the example of a drop of a water in the ocean. The water goes in the drop of water, when it falls in the ocean, it loses its individuality. But it's not so. Even scientifically, chemically, the molecule of that thing remains intact. You can't see it, but when you study individually, it is there. Like an icicle has so many thousands of molecules, and each one is different than the other. And then they give the example of a parrot, in the green parrot in a green tree. You can't see it, or a green bird. But the fact is that if you go from inside the tree, you can see that there is a parrot. So it's only an illusion. It's an illusion that it has lost its identity and so on. It never can. Okay. Then it has form. It is not formless. It is eternal. There is no doubt. That's why there is no problem. Situated in the region heart, that just localized things. Changes bodies. We saw that. The inconceivable. Inconceivable. That's most Krishna says that, people, and some he says cannot understand it. Most of the people cannot understand it. The scientists have been trying. Now their latest thing you might have read, is the God particle they are talking about. What is that God particle? So they will keep on doing things, but it's already explained. They cannot surpass this. What is the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita? The Supreme. Okay. So as I said, I have to attend to other things today. But I wanted to keep the classes going. So now I will take one or two quick questions. Okay. Maybe we can discuss next week a little more. So please let me know if you have any question. And I see some people are trying to join, but I don't know why they are not able to join for some reason. Flash client to join, I don't know. Technical things. I'm not a technical man.